1270, The Buzz.
1270 welcomes you to Broadview, a weekly radio show that looks into the issues here in Northern Nevada. Hot topics of the week, a senior moment or two, and special guests. Phone lines are open now at 823-1920. Here is your host, Jay Davis.
And welcome to Broadview. Very nice to be here on this beautiful Saturday. A lot of things to discuss today. You can sit back and you can listen. You can listen to all the conversation, or please feel free to express yourself at 823-1920. We're here. We want to hear from you. And if you have questions for any of my guests today or just want to comment, you can email me at broadview1@live.com. And I'd like to welcome J.P. Travis from his attitude. I don't know. Where are you from?
From Reno.
You are not.
I live like a mile from you.
You are from Michigan. You're a Michiganigan. But he has a weekly column at jpattitude.com, and I love the website. It is just so functional, and anything you want to know about just about anything that has to do with politics is there, and I really like it, JP. Thank you for coming in. Also, financial guru and co-host of Nevada Matters, Steve Ossie, is here, and money and the U.S. debt and the stocks and all that. Big stories today, Steve.
Yes, a lot of stuff. Thanks, Jay, for having me here. And this will be a good show. I came all the way out of paradise up at Tahoe to come down here to talk about this.
I know you did. Take you right out of paradise. Also joining me, author of Don't Take My Lemonade Stand and political speaker Janie Johnson. She'll be here. The new Discovery Museum is now open in Reno. We're going to talk with Patrick Turner. He's the marketing director, and we're going to do that in our Better Living segment brought to you by Dr. Annette Childs, PhD for Better Mental and Emotional Living. It's a fascinating place, the new museum, so we're going to enjoy that. And in our Laugh Lounge, it's headliner Johnny Cardinale. Also, hypnotist Dan Kim is going to join us again. He is mesmerizing. I'm just loving this guy. Just falling for him.
I've been on his couch.
You've been on his couch, and it's very nice, isn't it?
Yeah, well, it's a chair.
You sure you want to tell us about this, Steve?
Yeah, you know, after I saw him, I woke up out in the desert naked. I don't know what happened.
That's what happens. Yeah. He makes you feel free. It's a good thing. Well, I think right now, though, we're going to start with the big deal made this week, because it's big news. It was a hard one, and all of the politicians that serve us now quiver in their boots at the final deal that they made in our benefit. I think JP's moment of common sense... kind of sums it up for us all, although my engineer's not in here.
There's nobody in the booth.
I'll say right now while we have the chance, I've given you the opportunity on Broadview to do your little segment every week, little segment called Common Sense, and it's way out of the box always, just like your column.
Watch out, Rush Limbaugh.
Yeah, look out. But I think it's very valuable, and it's valid, and I think you're going to agree. So now he's back. Hey there, Sean. Thanks for joining me. Appreciate it. Okay, now we're going to check out JP's moment of common sense. It sums us up real quick.
Golly gee willikers, America, they managed to raise the federal government's debt ceiling this week. Isn't that peachy? Raising the debt ceiling may or may not be a good thing in your opinion, depending on which coven of politicians you choose to believe, and whether you think another $2 trillion of debt piled on your grandchildren's backs is a good idea. Me, I'm pretty sure it's a bad idea, and I'm angry about it. The politicians did their best to scare people into liking this convoluted deal with a series of lies that would shame a $2 whore, but most of us didn't buy into Washington's scam. Not this time. Polls taken since Tuesday show that Americans do not approve. They don't approve of the debt limit increase, they don't approve of Congress, and they don't approve of the president. Refreshing to see us all agreeing for a change, isn't it? A quick review of lies used over the last few weeks starts with the biggest one. The one that's already collapsed in disgrace. They said if we didn't raise the debt limit, the nation's credit rating would be lowered. Well, in case you haven't heard, at about 5 o'clock yesterday, Standard & Poor's lowered our credit rating. That's right. As of right now, the United States of America is no longer considered the best credit risk. Debt limit raised on Tuesday, credit rating lowered on Friday. That's a lie that barely lasted 3 days. The lower credit rating isn't a surprise to anybody with a lick of common sense. Maybe you were confused by the rhetoric and the constant repetition by TV talking heads and the smooth assurance of all those important people in Washington wearing their expensive suits and flashing their used car salesman smiles, but come on, people. Did you really think the credit rating could be helped by diving deeper into debt? Really? Economics isn't complicated. Don't let them fool you. Operating the country's checkbook is no different fundamentally than operating your own checkbook. Have you ever wanted to buy a house and needed to convince a banker that you could afford the payment? Did you run down to the nearest Cadillac dealer and lease a new Escalade to help your case? Of course not. But that's what our Republican House and Democrat Senate, after pooling their collective wisdom and discussing the matter for weeks, decided to do. Didn't work. The lie that gave the credit rating lie its legs was the suggestion that failure to raise the debt limit would cause the U.S. to default on its debt obligations. That was never true, not even a little bit. The nonsense about default was repeated in headlines and news broadcasts to the point of nausea. At least I was nauseous. To the point where the politicians and news media were using the word default as an ersatz nickname for the debt limit issue, even though this never had anything to do with default. Once again, this isn't complicated stuff. Leaving the debt limit where it was didn't mean the old debt couldn't be serviced. It simply meant the government couldn't borrow more money. Call me crazy, but I like the sound of that. There was enough money coming in to make interest payments, and as for the rest of the government's expenses, well, by golly, they'd have to prioritize and decide what they can afford. What a revolutionary thought. Maybe George Soros wouldn't get his $2 billion to drill for oil in Brazil. Wouldn't make me cry. Another lie, this one coming directly from the mouth of our president, was that August Social Security checks might not go out if the debt limit wasn't raised. He said it to CBS News on July 12th in the middle of the debt limit debates. Quote, I cannot guarantee that those checks go out on August 3rd if we haven't resolved this issue, because there may simply not be the money in the coffers to do it. This is a lie on two different levels. Number one, there's enough revenue coming in to pay for Social Security, interest on debt, Medicare, and essential defense, even if the government can't borrow more money. One would think the president would know that, so it's hard to excuse his statement. But that's not even the biggest problem with what he said. Remember, Social Security has a unique status in the federal budget. Payments don't come from general funds. The paycheck deductions stolen from working Americans since 1935 sit in four trust funds. Those four trust funds are managed by a board of trustees, which, unfortunately, lends the money to the general fund as fast as it comes in. So we all know there isn't really money sitting there. The whole thing basically boils down to a Bernie Madoff-like Ponzi scheme. But even though there isn't actual money in the trust funds, the trusts do have treasury bonds sitting there as IOUs from the federal government. And here's the kicker. Those IOUs are considered part of the overall debt, just like regular bonds. When the debt ceiling stood at $14.34 trillion before they raised it Tuesday, approximately $2.5 trillion of that amount was owed to the Social Security trust funds. I'll say it one more time. Economics isn't complicated. If President Obama wants to send out Social Security checks, he doesn't need to raise the debt limit one single penny, because trading trust fund IOUs for regular Treasury debt to raise cash leaves the total amount of government debt exactly the same. The President was lying to you. The Treasury Secretary has been lying to you. Congress critters from both political parties were lying to you, and most of the news media has been lying to you. But I'm not lying to you. I'm just using common sense to figure out what's really happening to our country. And it's not pretty.
Ooh, I'll tell you what, J.P. Travis, I think he's our new political John Wayne. Boy, you swinging your gums on that.
John Wayne? Come on.
Yeah.
I like John Wayne, though.
You got a style there. Wow. Do you believe
all
that?
Howdy, partner.
Yeah.
Howdy, partner.
Do you believe all that stuff, J.P.?
Yeah, I'm really angry with Washington.
I can tell you are, and there are a lot of people that
are
really
angry. And I think I'm angrier with Boehner than I am with the Democrats.
Why? Because he backed down?
Because he backed down. He backed down in February, which is when he really should have made his stand. And
I know, but don't you think his hands were kind of tied? I mean, really, give him just a little bit of leeway, because I think his hands were pretty tied.
Pass a budget bill and send it to Obama. If he doesn't want to sign it, then he can shut the government down. The House is the one that allocates the money. They should do their job.
What do you think, Steve?
I agree with what he had to say. I think you ought to say Pilgrim more often, though, while you're talking.
Stop it!
Steve, what do you think of the debt deal?
Well, I would have preferred myself to have seen them not approve that the government get deeper in the hole. But maybe it was necessary this time. Maybe we had to do it one more time. But we had a point where we could have maybe not expanded the debt and said, you have to cut expenses to make ends meet. But we passed up that opportunity. The details are that $900 billion of spending cuts have been decided now, but only $21 billion or so, $900 billion spending cuts now, $21 billion will be saved in the next year, but the real cuts won't happen until 2017. And then they formed the super committee of 12 folks, 6 Republicans, 6 Democrats. And
more thumbs up the butt. What in the heck?
Well, they couldn't identify all the spending cuts in time to get this passed, so they kind of kicked the ball down a little bit.
As if they didn't have plenty of time.
Yeah, yeah. So the key will be who's on this committee, I think. And they have to define another $1.2 trillion in cuts by Thanksgiving, and they have to find and have that passed by December 23, or the hammer. The hammer is that there'll be across-the-board cuts, and it'll cut some from the military spending, which is the sacred cow of the Republicans, and it'll cut some from entitlements and other parts from the Democrats. So they have an incentive to get this done by then. So we'll see what happens. But I had rather not given President Obama another couple billion so now he can cruise through election and not have to deal with this again. He can return back to campaigning.
Yeah, so he thinks. JP, do you think we're going to be right here talking about this again next year?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Those 12 congressmen aren't going to come up with anything. Come on. They're the same people who couldn't come up with anything now. What makes us think 12 of them sitting in a room are going to agree on cuts?
Well, let's take a look at it. The Obama signed the Budget Control Act of 2011 into law. That, of course, was Tuesday at noon. They voted on Capitol Hill. And the final count, 74 to 26. Now, 28 Republicans voted in favor of the legislation, while 19 voted no. Now, on the other side,